for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, September the 2nd, 2000. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher in the ladies' meeting.
We're going to try again to get a tape. We didn't get one yesterday. It didn't make at all, so we're going to try again. Sorry about that. It seems like the enemy really works when you really want to tape something. When I taught last month on the grief that the Lord had instructed me to share so that it could go out in the paper, because there's so many people that are going through grief, and we didn't get it. It didn't tape. So I'll have to do it again, and eventually I'll do it again, and we'll get it out, Lord willing. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I was seeking the Lord this morning on what he wanted me to share this afternoon about that extra notebook, because it's got a lot of demons listed in it. My list of demons is in it. And I'm supposed to be sharing downstairs at 3 whenever I get up there, get to it. So I was, thank you. So I was asking the Lord which of the two sermons he had given me that he wanted me to share up here. I had told you all yesterday I would probably teach on healing. But I'm going to do that downstairs, because the Lord instructed me to teach on sexual sins. So while women were by themselves without the men, they'd be feel freer to get deliverance if they needed it. As you know, I asked Doc what he was going to teach this afternoon to the men, but he wouldn't tell me. So a lot of times he does that, so he usually would say what he was teaching, but he didn't tell me today. So, and I didn't tell him. He asked, what are you going to teach? I said the word. Got onions on my hands. And so I told him, I said, when I find out for sure, I'll let you know. But anyways, well, I was kind of killing a little bit of time to give everybody a few more minutes to come in. You know, sometimes when you look around and see people that are, us folks that are older, you think, well, really, we don't need to get onto the sex sins. But, you know, we really do. Because if you haven't, if you say have been involved or abused or anything, and it's never been taken care of, it needs to be taken care of. Because if you don't get it off of you, then that sin just goes right, a curse goes right on down through your kids. It goes to our children, then our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. So it's really necessary for us to first of all, confess our sins. Praise the Lord. So anyways, that's the way I'm going to go. You know, I thank the Lord. Don't you thank the Lord for forgiveness? He forgives us, and he loves us. And I just pray that the body of Christ can come together. I'm going to teach this afternoon now the Amplified Bible. So that way you can understand the scriptures I'm giving you. So, well, I don't understand them anyways, but I'll tell you what, it makes it pretty plain. And so I want to use this one. May even use it downstairs. I don't know. When I get downstairs, I got a couple of loaded guns I'd like to loose. So y'all pray for me. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Maybe we could turn it on another notch where it wouldn't make quite so much noise. Yeah. There should be another plug, I would think. Well, pull it as your cord. That's as far as your cord will take it, though, isn't it? I was thinking if you had a real long cord. Well, it'll work. It'll circulate the air, though, that way. Can you feel some of that air? Good. Good. You want to turn that on? Is it? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I just thank you for your love. I thank you, Father, that your mercies are new every morning. And I thank you, Father, that your love never fails. It never ceases. And you don't love us, Lord, by what we do, but by who we are, that we're your children, that you love, for God so loved. And so, Father, we thank you for that love. Now, Father, as we gather to just share your word, I ask you by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, just let the word be anointed. I know the word's anointed, but let us hear it with anointed ears, and let it bring life and bring deliverance to those that want deliverance. And, Father, I just thank you for your word. And Father, now in the name of Jesus Christ, I come in my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. I take my authority in that name that's above every name, and I bind the enemy in the heavenlies. I bind principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones in the heavens. I bind them from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. I bind every demon spirit. I bind witchcraft. I bind Satanism. I bind all the works of darkness that are working in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind dissension and strife. I bind every evil work that's at work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we thank you and praise you this afternoon for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And you said, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loose. And Lord, I loose peace, I loose unity, I loose your love, I loose the spirits of the Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to move mightily, cover each one with the blood of Jesus Christ. Station angels in this room, Father, to cleanse the room and to stand guard and to bind any hindering spirits. I ask you to cover each one now with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind in transference of spirits in Jesus' name. And Father, I stand upon your word, and I thank you for it. I thank you for the authority. And I give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You know, I have been teaching here for I don't know how many years I've taught. And I'm always teaching, lay hands on no men suddenly. And I don't know what it was about me yesterday, but everybody came by was putting their hands on me. So I said, I'm going again, Lord. I'm going to say it. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, let me put it to you like this. If somebody walks up to me and puts their hands on me and I don't know it, sometimes it might rile up anger in me. And then I open the door and anything's around can walk in. And also, I don't know where they're walking, you know, where they're coming from, if they mean it for good or bad. You know, every time hands are laid on in the Scripture, they're laid on to transfer the anointing, to impart the Spirit. And so I don't want the wrong spirits imparted to me. You say, well, you're real touchy. You better believe it. I lost my husband, and I don't have anybody stand fight with me. Oh, the Lord's there. Praise God for me, with me all the time. But, you know, I miss him so much because he used to pray, no, devil, you're not going to get to her. You have to go through me first. Well, so I'm telling you, people, you need to be careful who lays the hands on you. You really do, because spirits transfer. Let me tell you, today you don't know what the enemy is trying to do to you. We're in a battle. It's war. We're in war. This is not a battle. It's a war. And we have got weapons that God's given us, and we need to use them, and we need to stand on the Word. We need to believe the Word, and we need to walk in the Word. I am so sick and tired of compromise. I am sick and tired of that. I got in a fight with Doc downstairs a while ago over some stuff. I was yelling at him, and he said, I get your hands off me. Anyways, I was just angry at him. But I was telling him, I said, I'm tired of the enemy wiping out God's people. Okay? God's given us authority. And if we don't stand up, I've been chewed out a couple of times because I stand up here and teach it, and I try to find an easy way to go around and tell people without hurting feelings or driving them away. And it doesn't mean that I don't mean what I say, because I really do. If I see you come, see a person coming, and I don't know who they are, and I know they're going to put their hands on me, I will reach out and grab them. But when people come at me from the back, I had a man downstairs yesterday. I was ministering to someone, and I was standing outside the bathroom waiting for everything to work out, you know. And he walks up, and he does this to me, and I wanted to hit him. Like, had no business putting his hands on me to start with. And he was telling me something, trying to talk to me, and he shouldn't have done that. And I haven't had a chance to tell him, now, next time, don't put your hands on me. But I will. I can't get this in the right position. I don't want you to think I'm being ugly. I'm trying to protect myself, okay? And I know a lot of people don't agree with me, and that's okay. This is the way I believe, and this is where I walk. I tell you, people in my church come up to me and say, can I hug you? I deal with demons, and I stand up in front of people, and I have the host of hell sometimes coming at me this way. And you battle. So praise the Lord. And if I've wounded anybody, come up and I'll pray for you, and I'll still cast the spirit out and loose the healing to you. No, I really think it's best for all of us now in this day and time. I can't get people not to get in circles and hold hands. It just bugs the stew out of me. You say, well, you get bugged by a lot of things. Yeah, I sure do. I'm just letting it all hang out. Is that okay? You see, in witchcraft and Satanism, they get in circles and they hold hands. And the spirits transfer from, you know. And then, they have the pentagram on the floor most of the time. You say, how do you know? Well, I've dealt with witches, too. That's why I'm so trying to be so, to tell you to protect yourselves. Every time I turn around, I have one calling me wanting to come to my church. I said, nope, don't like Hamilton. Let them deliver you. Go to Worley's church up in Chicago. We're not doing a lot of deliverance. We weren't doing a lot of deliverance last time I got one of those calls. But, in fact, I had backed away. I had to rest a while after Jim's death to really get me back into deliverance. Some of y'all may not have been here the other day when I was sharing. But I had a battle with a rural prince just a couple of weeks ago. And I know what the devil's trying to do to all of us. And he laughs at us because we're unbelieving. We don't really believe the devil can do it. I think that mocked me. He mocked me good. And he said, you Christians make me sick. I thought, good, throw up and come out. But anyways, I bound him in the room that he came into. He came in to stop deliverance. And he said that you don't believe, those Christians don't believe that we have any power and authority, but we do, because they give it to us because in their unbelief. Isn't that sad? In our unbelief, because we say, well, the devil can't touch me. He really couldn't if you were walking in perfection, if you had no sin in your life. You say, well, I'm not sinning. I'll usually say when somebody tells me that, what are you doing here? The only person that I know that never sinned was Jesus. So you should be with him, because if you stay on this earth, you're going to sin. We don't have to. God tells us we don't have to, but until we get cleansed, we've got so much stuff in us that talks to us and gets us involved in so much stuff that we do it. Most time it's with this. We worked with that a little bit yesterday on the calling spirits out of it. I think a lot of us was a little afraid to let it go, but I tell you, I made the remark last night, we were talking last night, and I said, you know, if all those ladies would go home and get to themselves and just sit down and say, okay, Lord, now I'm going to call all this out of me, God deliver you. He does it for me all the time. And if I can't get it off, I go to the church and say, okay, this is really, really disgusting when I have to do this, because I enjoy it so much. And I say, I need deliverance. Come on. And they gang up on me. They say, one day we're going to have you on the floor. I said, if it takes it, be it, go at it. I don't care. I don't want anything that will hinder me from moving with the Lord. So if you will open your Bibles, I've said all that. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going through scriptures that you know, but I want to read them out of the Amplified Bible. I assume you know every one of them. But we're going to go through them, and because the Lord gave this to me. And I titled this Sexual Sins, but it goes into a lot of, and we may end up even in the occult, because the occult is involved. You know, sexual sins are open doors to Satan. Like when abortion is a sacrifice unto Satan, shedding of innocent blood, all of this, and that's why there's so much abortions, so many abortions now, but all these babies that are being killed, because the enemy likes innocent blood, and the only innocent blood is a baby. And especially if these that they're killing now that are partial birth, that's the most ungodly thing. I tell you, I just don't see how any human being can think that long to kill those babies. Look at the little. There was a little newborn here yesterday, and I looked at that little boy. He was so cute. I think it was a little boy. Was it a boy? He's so cute. And I thought, he's just a couple weeks old, isn't he? About 3, not too much, 2. And I just thought, now, they're killing babies that look like him. I heard a lady's testimony that she was a nurse, and she said she was working with a doctor that was doing this, and said when God really got a hold of her and showed her what she was doing, that she saw that baby when the doctor stuck the needle in it, it flinched. And she just literally went and threw up. I thought she should have been thrown up a long time before that. Any woman that can do that, or man, I just don't understand it, how they can kill those children. But anyways, that's beside the point. But I do know that this is a form of sacrifice to the devil, because these witches that I have dealt with, they breed. Some women are used as breeders, and they have babies and use them for sacrifice. And I dealt with a girl that had been a breeder, and I dealt with a woman that had been a breeder. And so the enemy wants, for instance, today, people living together. That's what the devil wants. And, you know, Paul talked about that there would be a time when they'd say, well, don't get me, forbidden to marry. They're not forbidding it, but they're just saying, go live together. And so, you know, we've got to stand our ground. I've got to say this. I've had more people tell me that my husband was taken to get my family back together. It just makes me so angry. God didn't have to take my husband to get my family back together. My family's wherever God wants them. And my husband and I had loosed our families. You see, they don't understand that we wouldn't put up with the crap, the junk, the drugs, the alcohol that my kids had gotten into in our house. We would not allow it there. And when we refused to let it come in, the kids walked away. And God promised to bring them back, and he's been bringing them back one at a time. He said he's brought them all back. But they still don't come in my house, I don't think any of my kids smoke. My grandchildren do. But they're not allowed in my house to smoke. I stand my ground. You say, well, you can do that. You can, too. If your kids are married and you set your foot down and you say, no, you're not bringing the garbage in my house. I love you. I told my son when we wouldn't let him stay with us when he came, he had been in jail for 5 months. Then he got beat up by his drug pusher and likely killed him. We learn all this, you know, and he come in. He's going to stay with me. I said, no, you're not staying with me. And so my son, other son, runs a mission here in Little Rock, and that son told him, you can't stay with in my mission. I don't want you polluting my mission. So they take my son down to Salvation Army and drop him off. And I told my son before he left my house, I said, Dad, I love you. We really love you. We've prayed for you. We've done everything we know for you. And I said, now, you're on your own. I said, we hate what you are. We hate what you've done. He's lost everything. He lost everything he had, his family and everything, because of the drugs. And I said, we have prayed, and you've blamed everybody in the world but yourself. And I said, when you admit that you are the one that did it, and you turn from the devil and turn to the Lord, then I said, son, we'll do anything we can for you. Well, my other son sent a man from his mission. He wouldn't come after him. He told me he was going to send after him. He sent a man over to pick my son up, my middle son up, and brought him back to Little Rock and dropped him. He was coming back to go to the hospital. They had him to go into, he was going into the Veterans Hospital here. And my son was going to take care of him. But before he went to the hospital, they didn't get him into the hospital when they thought they were. I'm going somewhere, so I'll get through in a minute. But anyways, when they dropped him off at the Salvation Army, they didn't even go in with him or nothing, just dropped him off. And when next time we saw him, we didn't recognize him. The glory of God was on him. He got saved that night. He said, Mother, talking to you and Dad, what y'all said, he said, I knew it was my fault, and I had tried to blame everybody on the sun. He said, and when James would not let me come to his mission, I thought, man, this is where I am. Nobody wants me. And said he went in. And when you have to go to church there. And so he went in, and when they had the altar call, he said, I got up and I ran to the altar and I fell on my face before God. They cleaned him up. He said he had long hair, beard, didn't have anything. He'd lost everything. Even his clothes had been stolen from him. And they had to find some clothes to put on him when he was in the hospital. That's when he lost them. And when he brought him back, when my son that runs a mission brought him back to the house, He literally, Jesus was just oozing out of him. He had just, and you're talking about getting saved, he had gloriously gotten saved. And he came and spent the weekend with me not too long ago, and we stayed up half the night talking about Jesus. And he calls me from the hospital over there and said, Mama, I've been talking. They call him the preacher. He walks around with the Bible in his hand. He said, and I talk about you and said, some of those men want me to call you and get you to pray for them. So I pray over the telephone for them. Now, see, that's tough love. It broke my heart to do that. But I knew God, we had done all we could do. So what I'm telling you, yeah, you may have to kick them out of your house, and like we did our son, but God will bring them back. He's promised us our families, hasn't he? Okay, I'm sorry it took so long. But anyways, I need to share that with you. Let's go to verse 15 in chapter 6. The scripture says, Do you not see and know that your bodies are members, bodily parts of Christ, the Messiah? Am I therefore to take the part of Christ to make them part of a prostitute? Never, never. Or do you not know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. You know, in Genesis it said, when a man takes a wife, they become one flesh. So what this scripture is saying, that when a person commits adultery or has sex with someone they're not married to, they become one with them. And therefore that person becomes, says to prostitute, then the man becomes part of that prostitute. This is what the scripture is saying. And he said, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed, or any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So sexual immorality is sinning against the temple of God. Our body is the temple of God. And you know, this is what the enemy has done. So many of the kids, and I know girls that have had babies, gotten pregnant without being married, and it's just like they don't think anything about it. And it doesn't matter how, if you raised them in the Lord and you brought them up in the home and with God, they still go out and they seems like they get drawn into it. But and some of these girls tell me they're saved. There's a girl in our church, she's fixing to get married. She has a child, 5 years old. She had that kid when she was like 15. She deliberately went out and got pregnant, and she's fixing to get married next month. Well, she's going to take a lot of prayer for the marriage to work. And it just seems like the enemy is just trying to destroy everything God is raising up or trying to raise up. And the kids are today, I don't know what purity is. I know that they're under a lot of pressure. I know that, so they tell me, and the things in this. But you know, you've got a will. They have a will, do they not? Look at Eve and Adam over in the Garden of Eden. God made them. They fellowship, they commune with God. God walked and talked to them in the cool of the day. But she desired the fruit, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the thing that I find that so bad today about the immorality that's in the church, it's in the church. Because the devil's people, you know, the people that don't know Jesus are already belong to the devil. So what's he trying to do is to destroy the body of Christ. And so, but you can't get them to say, well, they did anything wrong. Their heart, their conscience becomes seared. You know, Paul talked about it in Timothy, said that the conscience in the last days, that man's conscience would be seared. He wouldn't have a conscience, literally. And so when they knowing what I know about it, I'm going to get to that in a minute, sex with an unmarried person or outside of the marriage destroys the soul. And so you see, if the soul is destroyed through sex, then the conscience gets seared, because there's not the soul is being destroyed, being removed and torn, and so there's not enough there to fight the enemy to come against. So when if we could get them to be honest with themselves and say, I don't have to do this. But I'm telling you, I have to say this. I dealt with mine. He was in his, he was 50, 48. Lived all of his life. Such a mess. Wouldn't hear anyone. You see? I'm okay. We tried to talk to him. I'm okay. I'm okay. He was. He stayed as far away from us as he could. And we'd go, you know, checking on all this. But anyways, going on. He said, what was the verse I read? 15. Or do you not know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute? Okay, I think I read that one. Verse 17, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed, or any other sin which a man commits as one outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality against his own body, do you not know that your body is a temple, the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. We were purchased with a price, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, there's a scripture over in Corinthians, I think it's 13, let me find it. I believe that's the one I want. I didn't mark it in this Bible. Maybe it's 10:13. Let me try to back up. Paul says, for no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experiences and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word, to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assuaged beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means to escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. You know, a lady came to me, I know she was in her 60s, back at one of our ladies' conference. You remember the little lady that came up? I don't know whether you remember the morning that it looked like the Holy Ghost just fell on that group and everybody was getting deliverance. And we had a lot of women, Judy, that were up in age, like, you know. And they were getting, you know what they were getting deliverance from? Incest and child abuse. They'd never been ministered to for it. And that's why I had a lady come to me yesterday, and she's not here. This is one of the reasons I was teaching this today, that she's so tormented by lust, and she's 65. See, we think just the young get tormented, but here she had come to me and said, I'm so ashamed that I came and asked my husband to pray for me. And she was, fantasy lust was working, and I don't see her today, and I told her, I said, I'll do my best to minister to that tomorrow, because she was so tormented, and here the Lord's, you know, she's not here. But I want you to see that God says that anything that comes upon you and our kids, God always provides a way for them to escape if they want to. He does us. There's no reason for us to be drawn into this, and we need to stand firm. And you know how we stand? You know, we forget how sometimes just how we fight. Remember how Jesus resisted the devil? It is written. And so we have to use this. If you don't quote that part of it, you say, well, now, hey, devil, I'm blood bought. I'm God's child. You don't have any right to me. You are, what is it, trespassing upon God's property. Get out of here. And we can, you know, I've been accused of stomping my foot when I'm doing deliverance, talking sometimes, and I do, because I get so, I just want to get the devil. I hang out on high heels today, but if I had them on, I'd say I'd like to get the head of the serpent down under that heel, you know, and just grind him in the floor, because he's always after God's people. And he's not going to give up on you and I until we go to be with the Lord. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. I said I was going to use that scripture. I taught one time up here on adultery. I think I've taught it downstairs. There's a scripture over in Numbers that tells us that, I think it's Numbers 14, I'm not sure, in that chapter. But it says that adultery causes the spirit of jealousy to come in, and that adultery and jealousy will cause an enlarged stomach. Isn't that interesting? Read it and see what it says. I'm almost sure it's in Numbers 14. But here in Proverbs, we see in chapter 6, in verse 32, he says, but whosoever commits adultery with a woman lacks the heart lacks heart and understanding, moral principles and prudence. He who does it is destroying his own soul. Wounds and disgrace will he get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. And I think I covered that yesterday, where the soul is, through the soul we are transferred, spirits are transferred through the soul. I shared one time up here, and for some of you that haven't heard it, let's go to Matthew 5 while I'm talking, okay? 14, someplace in 14. It's, I don't know the exact verse, Elsie, but it's there. I was sharing up here one time how my husband used to come in with Matthew 5, sickness. And he'd be coughing. He wasn't sick, but he had been in it all day. And when he said his women, love his women, were, he had a lot of people working for him. They ran sewing machines, and he said they were always sneezing and coughing, and he'd have to go to buy aspirin for them. They always had headaches. They were having headaches and all this. And the plant supplied aspirin, Band-Aids, and things like that. And he said, I'm telling you that every time I look, somebody's got a runny nose, and they're sniffing and coughing and all this. I said, shut up. I said, you come in here, and I said, I wondered where I was getting all this. But anyways, I said, you should do deliverance on me. I said, honey, don't tell me about them. Come do deliverance on me. I was coughing, fighting off, resisting the devil. And he started doing deliverance on me, and he couldn't, and nothing moved. And usually I could just sit down by him and get deliverance, because the anointing on him would, you know, cause me to get deliverance. And he was sitting across from me, and finally he decided to break a soul tie between me and him, an evil soul tie. And when he did, he started calling spirits off of him, and I got delivered. I did not fight that for years afterwards. In fact, I don't think I've had any of it since then. But what was happening was he was picking up the spirits there from those people. He was resisting it. I used to hear him say, when they come knock on my door and tell me that I'm going to take a cold, I tell them to take it down the road. Somebody down there's already got their medicine. Give it to them. They prepared. I'm not. And so I knew that he would resist it, but it was still coming in with him. And through an evil soul tie between he and I, we had a good soul tie, but you always have an evil soul tie. Sure you do, girls. You know how to manipulate your husbands. You know how to get them to do what you want them to do. You don't let them know it, but no, y'all don't do that. Nah, we've outgrown that. But anyways, I got deliverance to it. So that was the way that I really found out how spirits travel through the evil soul tie. But over in Matthew, in Matthew's Gospel, in verse 27, he says, and who of you by worrying and being... I got six. That don't sound right. Anyways, let me back up, get my right place. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, which is Exodus 20, verse 14, or Deuteronomy 5:18. Tells us, God's word says we're not to commit adultery. But Jesus said, but I say to you that everyone who so much as looks at a woman with evil desires for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's what that lady was telling me yesterday. 65 years old. She said, I can't tell my husband pray for me. I look at those men, and she says, it's awful. I said, I'm bound, I've sprinkled the blood, I've done everything I know to do. And she said, I'm still being tormented. And so God's word says if you even look at a man, I don't know, you know, of a woman, if a man looks at a woman with lust, desire, Jesus said, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So you see, a lot of the sins we commit are inside. Did you ever go out down the mall and see men sitting on the side of the, you know, I hate to walk down the mall. A lot of times I'll go into a store and get out and get my car and drive down to the next one. Not that I, you know, I just don't like to go through those, I figured those dirty-minded old men, what are they doing sitting there? And they may be perfectly innocent, I don't know, but maybe I'm the one who's got the dirty mind. But I watch them. If when you walk out the door and they don't know you're looking, you see them. They're looking at women. Of course, it's the young women they're looking at, you know. And it's awful. They're committing adultery in their hearts. It's still sin. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you another one on your body being the... You know, I'm talking about sexual sins. I'm going to tell you something, girls. And I'm real guilty of this. Since I've been by myself, I overeat a lot. You can tell it. These big dresses don't always hide it. But we are harming the temple of God. Okay? He said in verse 16... Do you not discern and understand that you are God's temple, and God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you, collectively as a church, and also individually. He says we're as a, now here, all of us together is the church. This building's not the church, but we're the church. But and God's here, but He's also here. And so whatever I do to my temple, I am desecrating God's house. And the bad thing about it is that when you do something that you know you shouldn't have done, and maybe you all don't do this, but when you say you overeat or you did this or did that or go out and spend too much money or whatever, you feel so guilty in here until you take care of it, repent of it, and get free from it, that you can't hear God. And so God is telling us to take care of our temple. And he tells us in 1 Peter that we were bought with a price. Let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 1. And I like it better. This, I think it's better in the other Bible, but I'm going to read it out of this one. Some things I like in here, and others I like my old, my King James. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he said, you know, recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold. We weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but with a precious, you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. Have you ever seen things that people are doing, have done, that are so against the things of God that the Holy Spirit within you just grieves. He just weeps inside of you. Well, I think of that when we have sinned and done something we know that we shouldn't do. How God must weep. As that demon told me the other day, I can't understand how your God loves you humans. Y'all are such a mess. That's what that thing told me. He told me a lot of things. I like to do deliverance when I get a demon manifested. You know why? Because I see God's power working. They don't want to come forth. They do not want to be revealed. But when they come forth, it shows the power of God. You know, that's what got me into deliverance. I'd heard talk about the power of God, and I had been going from place to place. I wanted to see God. I wanted to see God move. And I was seeing all the normal, you know, falling out on the floor. And I wasn't for that. I said, my church, you fall out, unless I really know it's God, I'll be right down there with you. And say, come on out of there now. You're not going to put on a show for us. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. I'll do it. But I had seen so much. But it wasn't. I just wanted to see God. Well, I went to Wim Hurley's church in Chicago. Somebody said, you're in deliverance. You need to go to Chicago. And I thought, what for? And I went up there. It was four of us went up there. And I saw God's power working. I saw demons screaming, and they were saying every kind of thing. But you thought, well, you would have run. You thought I would have run, been afraid and ran. But God, I saw God. I didn't see I saw people getting help, but I saw God's power working. And so I came back home, and but while I was there, I've stayed the whole weekend to one of their seminars, and I'd go down to the bathroom rock, because that's my prayer closet. I'd go down and get in one of those stalls, and I'd pray. And I'd say, God, I've never seen anything like this. I just want to know. And if this be real, Lord, I want to be involved in it. I want to see people set free. And so we were already in deliverance, but we weren't in it like that, where there was just manifestations. People were being prayed for. People were being prayed for one-on-one. You know, I told y'all yesterday I would like to see us get into one-on-one deliverance where we could really do some work. If you can do so much, I always say mass deliverance stirs spirits up. But God revealed to me that it was very real, and because I came back to our church, I was praying for a lady one night, and I found out the hard way it was real. I got my nose broke. It happened so fast I wasn't expecting it, because, you know, I was just learning, and I was saying that she was, this girl was on drugs. She had prescription drugs, and she had asked me to pray for her to get Valium off of her, and she was taking Valium. And I didn't, I mean, I knew it was a drug, but I had no idea, you know, about it. And so she was sitting on the front row, and I pulled a chair up, not real close to her, but kind of in front of her, and I was calling the thing out, and all of a sudden she jumped up, and she said, wham, and she knocked my nose over to one side, knocked my glasses off. They went sailing across the room, and kicked me. And so we grabbed her and got her back in the chair, and my husband came up and prayed on my nose, you know, and it was okay, but that was my first experience, and that thing said, who do you think you are? I'm a prince, and you think you can call me out? Well, I thought I could, and I did. I did. They used to tell me, I'll tell you all this, and I'm not bragging on me now. I'm telling you, I'm bragging on Jesus and the power of God, and well, you know what I'm talking about. But they used to tell me I couldn't do what I was doing. I learned deliverance as God began to reveal to me what to do. And I told y'all one time about all the demons that was bound over top of our church. I was binding spirits. I just say, you know, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I cast them out and was binding them. And I had a man that came to our church one time, and he was a prophet of God, and he said, Mildred, we were coming to church, and he said, would you tell me what all those demons are doing bound over top of your church? He said, I have never seen so many bound demons. I said, yeah, we bind them. He said, well, honey, you need to get rid of them. I said, well, I don't know what to do with them. What do you do with them, Lord? He said, I was praying one day, and I said, God, Lord, what do we do with those things? What he was telling me was they were still there. Even though they were bound, they were still power over the top of the church. So the Lord said, send them to the bottomless pit. So I thought that sounded good to me. And I always will try anything the Lord tells me, and then I go and find scripture to prove it. And so, you know, he always gives me the word for it when you go looking for it. So I went into the word, I mean, I sent them over there, and I had people tell me, you can't do that, because Jesus wouldn't send them there. He sent them to the dry places. I said, I know. So I started seeking the Lord. Go 1 Thessalonians, if you will, chapter 4. I said, Lord, what am I to do with them? He said, send them to the pit and bind them in the pit to the day of judgment. So I was sending them to the pit, and when they came back and told me I couldn't do it, I said, Lord, they tell me I can't do it. I said, where do I get scripture to prove, to show that I can? I said, really, Lord, it's too late. I've been sending them, and the other demons are telling me, you not go send me where you sent those other blankly blank demons. And I said, I always would say, well, okay. But the Lord said to me, when he spoke that to them, when the demon spoke to him and said, you can't send us to the pit, for the time is not yet. Jesus, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, he said, until Jesus died and went to the cross, you couldn't do it. But he had already taken care of it. And he said, you send them. Well, when the demons, you know, you don't like to get your confirmation from demons, but when they go to screaming and hollering, you're not sending me there, you know, hey, it must be worth it. And then I had one tell me one time, there's a whole place in the pit that's got the name of your church on it. I said, you by no means going to send me there. And I said, well, we'll see. 1 Thessalonians chapter, and we did, really. And I'll tell you another thing that I do, and I don't hear people do that anymore. I would call for the angels. I'd say, Lord, send these angels. See, the demons sometimes will mouth off at you and tell you they're not going, they don't do this. I'd say, Lord, would you send me two big angels with chains? And I said, and the angels, you just stand there and wait, because I want you to take his authority. And when that thing would come out screaming, you know, they'll scream and say, I'm not coming out, I'm not coming out. And all of a sudden, oh, I got to go. I got to go. And you have no pity. You ever have them tell you, you have no pity and mercy? You're supposed to love? I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the same pity and the same mercy that you've given her or him or whoever I'm dealing with. And they don't like that. I thought I'd just give y'all something so y'all wouldn't be so bored with me. I'd just tell you some of the good things. I enjoyed deliverance. I really did. The real kind. The only four kinds, screaming, hollering, kicking, throwing up. Throwing you around and all that. Praise the Lord. I'm back in it again, girls. I hadn't been in it in a while, and I'm back in it again. You can tell, because I usually don't talk about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, for you know what charges and precepts we gave you on the authority and by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each one of you should know how to possess, control, or manage his own body in consecration, purity, separated from things profane and honor, not to be used in the passion of lust, like the heathens who are ignorant of the true God and have no knowledge of his will. Can't get it any plainer than that, can you? That God expects us to keep ourselves holy for him and consecrated to him. You know, when you really come to know the Lord, I mean, and not just know about him, but know him, you all know that what I'm saying, that you want to keep your life clean and above reproach.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.